Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, GainQuick IT ORIs from Product Discovery and Usage Tracking with Tivoli Asset Management. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. Today's teleconference is being recorded. In this teleconference, you'll learn how Tivoli Asset Discovery for ZOS and distributed systems can provide discovery, monitoring, and reporting to give you an accurate understanding of product and application usage. Our speakers for today's teleconference are Mark Pressland, Tivoli Asset Discovery for ZOS Architect, and Ed Rossi, Product Manager, Tivoli IT Asset Management Portfolio. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our first speaker, Mark Pressland.
Okay, hello. I'm Mark Pressland. I'm the architect for Tivoli Asset Discovery for ZOS. And today I'm going to talk about the return on investment you can get with the product. I'm with a bit of an overview of the main reasons why our customers use the product, and then I'll go through some screenshots so you can have a better idea of the flavor of the product, and I'll list a bit more sort of technical slides at the end as well. And then I'll be handing across to Ed Rossi to talk how the product fits in at the bigger portfolio level, merging in with Tivoli Asset Discovery through Tivoli Asset Management for IT. The first section is really focused on ZOS discovery and monitoring of products and applications. On the slide two, you may have heard of products in this area and a bit of confusion of how the product is involved. So just a quick slide on some of the history. The product was originally called Tivoli License Compliance Manager for ZOS, and it was based on an acquisition that IBM made of Isagon Corporation. Now, that product is quite a popular product in the field, and you may very well have it. End of service for that product has actually been announced for September in 2012, and is free license upgrade to Tivoli Asset Discovery for ZOS. There are quite substantial differences to the product. As you see there on slide two, the product itself, particularly at large sites, we had some design limitations and discovery quality was suffering. So I've invested a lot of money into re-engineering a lot of the underlying infrastructure, and that's what TADC is all about. And the first sort of release, or 7.2, came out in third quarter of 2009. And it has actually proven, just from our PMR activity, that we have improved the quality quite considerably. But what we struggled with in 7.2 was deployment. So the deployment was quite complex. And in 7.5, we did a lot of work to make the deployment a lot easier. And today's presentation will be focusing on 7.5, which came out earlier, or April this year, and the feedback has been extremely good from customers. So if you're currently on TLCMZ, don't worry about 7.2, just go straight to 7.5. Okay, so slide three, just a bit of a summary of how the product's being used. Now, I mentioned before in the previous slide how the architecture has changed and the title's changed. Originally, it was Tivoli License Compliance for ZOS. What we found, though, is that a lot of people who are using TLCMZ were using it for all sorts of other reasons, not just because of license compliance. So we talked to our customers, and as we're moving forward, obviously we need to fill their requirements. And there's three main themes that the customers use the product in this area. So the first of all, before I jump into that, let's put the context here. ZOS, by the nature of it, it's a highly used, highly shared environment, shared by thousands of users and business processes. So the way they're using the product is looking inside that shared environment to get a better understanding of what's being used and where and when. And that helps in so many different ways. So the main themes, protecting against losing money, getting the most out of your budget, and financial accountability. So for each one of those themes, I'll spend a bit of time on those, explaining how customers are getting benefit out of the product. So slide four. Protecting against losing money. So the first bullet point there is, as I mentioned before, ZOS is a highly shared environment. And so, for example, you're going to upgrade a product or update an application, knowing who's going to be impacted, who has been using it, so you can notify them, obviously is very important. But you'll be able to then work out, well, you know, obviously you want to test it first as well. So seeing who the heavy users are so that they can help with the testing. Scheduling, knowing that products might be used heavily at end of quarter, so you can schedule so it's not running end of quarter, for example. Knowing what systems, where the software is deployed, highly shared environment, you will have many different releases or different maintenance levels on the same system, and you want to be able to roll it out without breaking things. Now, it's quite hard because it is a shared environment. So having reporting, looking in and understanding who's using what and where
it is critical to be able to control, to reduce that risk of unexpected outages. The main, I mentioned before about license compliance, once again, going back to this whole shared environment, you've got people who can copy things and run their own versions of things, for example, or run them on LPARs that it happened to have shared DASD to it, but so they can run it, not knowing that, what the license ramifications are. And it can add up to, you know, literally millions of dollars if it audit finds the products are being used on these big machines which shouldn't have been used. And if the audit does find that, there are typically, it's 3 years in retrospect you need to pay fees for, so the next comes out of your budget or you haven't originally budgeted for it. So normally gets escalated to top management and so forth. So being audit ready is really quite important, and again, it's really quite hard in a shared environment. So understanding, once again, who's using what where, so you can get on top of these things quickly, is very important. It can add up to a lot of millions of dollars in protecting this whole environment. The third point here is assisting planning for mergers and acquisitions and strategic outsourcing. So, once again, going back, highly shared environment, a lot of sites will rely on site experience, so the fact that you know, your staff knows who's using what, and over, you've got the history of what's happened. When you have a merger or an acquisition or you're an outsourcing, you're taking over a new environment, suddenly things have changed. You don't have the benefit of experience. And the people that you are talking to who have experience, their knowledge may be out of date as well because things do change. So once again, having some independent tooling showing you who's using what and where is extremely important, not only from the point of view of just bringing that new workload in, but from the point of view of planning for your support structures. So if you've got a lot of IMS in different customers, you might be able to centralise some of that support. Or if you're something on the next slide. The planning, basically planning, consolidations and so forth, it can protect against losing a lot of money. So slide five, I've touched on this a second ago. So the next sort of part of that is getting the most out of your budget. So the first one I mentioned there is license cost optimization. You've got a large budget because it is a highly used environment. And since it is a highly used environment, it's really quite hard to keep it trim. Typically, you might install a new release of software and another maintenance level and a new version and so forth. And you keep the old one there until people can move off it. And the problem is you never know when people have moved off it. So things are delayed there many, many years. So it's really hard to free up or to drop products which are no longer being used because you don't actually know unless you do a bit of educated guessing. Consolidating product versions. So if you've got version 3 of a product and version 4, you're paying licenses for both versions. You want to get people off those old versions so you reduce your footprint. And then same sort of thing about consolidating similar products. So if you've had mergers and you've got two different monitors, you want to be able to assess what monitors you can consolidate on so you can have better negotiation with your vendors. Reducing your footprint. So instead of licensing products on every machine, you might want to get just licensed to the more heavily used machines and get people to start using that machine so then you can drop the license on some machines. So license optimization, once again, comes back to understanding what's being used and where. Systems D, upgrade optimization. So this is really probably where the real momentum is on the Systems D platform is the MIPS utilization. More and more data is going into on the machines and being driven more and more harder. So software hardware upgrades are happening all the time. When you upgrade your hardware, also the software licenses need to be upgraded as well. So understanding, once again, what's being used where, you can optimise the best configuration. But you need more accurate information, more independent knowledge you've got about the environment, the better. I mentioned before about the support teams. Also, let an admin to approve license compliance. And if you've got an audit coming up, you can spend a lot of time trying to get the different artifacts in place to prove what was being used. And then it's still, not really sure because, generally do bring up the fine things. But being audit ready up front makes a lot less admin in the longer run. And also negotiating with vendors. So if you've got information which is showing product trends, a product which may have been cost justified 5 years ago because of a business application, things have changed in 5 years, for example, and you might find it's not being used anywhere near as much as what it was originally justified for that price. And if you go back to the vendor and say, look, you know, we want a reduction because it's that low or we can get rid of it, it gives you an empowerment. So having better reporting about what's being used and where is really quite important for that. Slide six, financial accountability. So the first little level there is operational costs, so the product license costs, the support costs, so your own internal support for products, your application support costs, hardware costs, all those operational costs, often you'll get a chargeback. That a lot of it comes back down to who's using what, and then the knock-on effect of who's supporting it. It's not just the license costs. That's my point there. And a lot of companies have also got regulations where they have to show that they're compliant as well. It's quite popular. A lot of our outsourcers use our products for recouping their costs with chargeback. A lot particularly important though, our service providers and large banks are often doing that as well. Okay, so just in quick recap on the return on investment, there's three main areas. There's protecting your investment, optimizing your budgets, and the financial accountability. And you see that there's quite a range of little different things, and some customers are quite strong in some areas and some customers are across the board. The one thing to come away from this is we're getting a lot of different value points here, not just license compliance. And a lot of our customers, that's just one small part of it. Okay, so that's just more at a high level how customers are getting benefit from the product. Let me give you some screen prints so you get a bit more of a feel for the product from a practical level. That's slide seven. This is a screen print of our analyzer. Basically, use your browser to connect to Analyze, which runs as a starter task on your mainframe, and it needs to run on the LPAR, which is where your database is. And our database is DB2 to ZOS on one LPAR. We have capturing components on different LPARs, and that all gets loaded into the central database. I've got some architecture diagrams coming up I'll touch on as well. Okay, so it is designed to be extremely lightweight. It's really quick to install, and if you're not using it, it just doesn't use any resources. It's extremely lightweight. So first of all, looking at the screen here, see there's a tab type screen. You can profile these tabs so that different users might just say, oh, I want to do the asset type screens or the discovery type screen. So as you can see from the asset menu, you're going to get reports which are really good for people who reconcile ZOS product licenses. These are reports which are specialised at looking at the product version. And there's quite a subtle point there which I want to explain. On ZOS, the product is typically licensed per version. But when you install the product and roll out different releases, you have different releases and you've got maintenance levels and so forth. So you might have Enterprise COBOL 3.1 and 3.2 and 3.3 installed and version 4.1 installed. So from a license perspective, though, they don't really care if you've got 3.1, 3.2, 3.3. They just want to know if you've got version 3, version 4 from a licensing perspective. So the asset reports are all good geared for those sort of people where it's just at the product version level. So you've got hardware inventory, you've got product inventory, you've got things like the audit trail, which I'll have some screen prints coming up. You can see products by the system, so it'll be a matrix type view. I've got some of those slides coming up. And right down to who's using particular versions of software. Slide 8 shows an example of the sort of reports you get on the Discovery tab. Now, these reports are designed for people who support the ZOS system, so they're a bit more technical. In this case, we're looking at the different releases. So, Enterprise COBOL 3.1, 3.2, that'll all be there, and maintenance levels. Right down to the libraries that they're installed in, and right down to what modules in those libraries are actually being used. And so scenarios such as, you want to free up a library or you want to, delete a library or move it, will show you who's using those products in those libraries, form up the application in those libraries. So a lot more technical level, what actually happens is the product works at this level and then we aggregate the information up to the asset level for those previous reports. As you can see, we've got things like volumes by system, searching for modules, and a lot of more detailed type reports. Slide 9, we've got some administration type reports where you can define names and so forth, or groups of systems. Slide 10, so when you run these reports, the first time when you click on one of those reports, you get presented with a parameter screen. And typically you can just at that point you hit submit and just use the defaults, or you can specify filter criteria. And the filter criteria might have a drop-down box, like here you might want to select a vendor. And that's actually queried the database to even populate that filter criteria. So you're only just showing vendors for the products that you've got. It's not looking at just a catalogue of vendors. It's showing you what's already been discovered, and then you can filter down. And from the nature of DOS, as it's a highly shared environment, a lot of the reports are designed so you can see that top level and then drill down quite quickly the details. Really is quite an important way, because as I said, if you just had a report which says, you know, COBOL's used on that machine, unless you can actually drill down through the details, you really don't know whether or not. You've got no way of checking the accuracy. With TAD-Z, you can very quickly do that. Okay, so slide 11 is just an example of a product inventory report. Simple report, just shows you what product versions are installed, the first time we discovered it, and the last time we saw usage for it, and how many systems and how many machines it's installed on. This simple report is quite powerful. For example, if you look in that last use column, I can see that there's products there which we've never seen usage for. That's just low-hanging fruit just there. Those products aren't being used. If you're paying money for these products, you can drop those talk to your vendors and drop those licenses and save some money. If you don't have license for those products but it's still installed, you've got a compliance exposure there, because at any point somebody could start using it and then bang, you're going to have to start paying money for them. So very simple report, but very powerful report. And as you can see there, there's hyperlinks. So I mentioned before that you want to see the details. You know, the last time we saw that product was used on a certain date, and somebody says, well, that's not right, you know, we haven't used that product for years. Well, you can just literally click on a hyperlink and you'll see the details. So for example, slide 12, shows a hyperlink down to say, show me the product details on the DB2, in this case, an old DB2 version. And as you can see, the usage of the product has been trending down. And you can see a breakdown per month of how many users, how many job names, how many usage events we've seen for the product. And, so again, there's hyperlinks there. I can click on that user account and see exactly which user it is, exactly what job names are using that product. So in this particular case, this is an old version of the product, and most people have moved across to the new version of the product, but you've got some stragglers. So here, you can quite quickly see who the stragglers are and get them off. And that also gives you empowerment too, because if they're coming out of a general budget and they're saying, look, I'm not really interested in moving off, if you can prove to them that there's not that many people using it, and you say, well, it's going to come out of your budget instead of the general budget, they suddenly move off. Okay, so slide 13. Here's an example of one of our cross-tab reports. Once again, seeing it at a high level is really quite powerful. I mentioned before that scenario such as consolidating your software, its footprint of how many different machines or LPARs it's on. So seeing these sort of cross-tab reports where I can quite quickly see that these products are being run on different machines, you get a better idea of which ones you can right from the start, I can say, well, you know, have I got licenses covering all of them? Can I just reduce my license? Or I might be wanting to say, well, you know, put the easiest machines I can get the product off to reduce that footprint. So in this case, we're just showing the reports showing the last time it was used, but there's metrics such as, you know, usage counts and annual users and so forth. There's various different metrics I can show in that cross tab. Slide 14. Well, one of the things which we found a good feedback we had from our 7.2 release is we had all these sort of capabilities of drilling down and so forth. We found a lot of people were having to drill down a lot. So we're looking at, like, for example, the previous slide 13 where you see some hyperlinks. You have to drill down to sort of see behind it. And they were wanting to get it from the one report a better image of where the trends are. So we developed some specialized usage reports which profile it per month. So we had a couple of these upper reports. So this particular example is showing you the products used by month. And you see that there's thresholds which compare usage from month to month. So green is just what normal is. If it goes up by a certain percentage, so in this case 10%, it'll show up as aqua or turquoise. If it goes down by a certain percentage, it'll go yellow. If it goes down by another further percentage, it'll go red or pink. And you can change those thresholds in a rough day. So here you can quite quickly see that DB2 version 7 is trending down, without having to click on things and blindly. But here, once again, you notice the hyperlinks. I can see drill down on those to see details. So you can see the trend up front, and then when you want to see the details, you can click on straight away to see the details. Slide 15. We found a lot of our TLCMZ customers were using spreadsheets. And originally we were saying, well, you know, we should be using a proper database and get control over it. But the reality is a lot of our customers are used to spreadsheets and they're also combining data with other spreadsheets. So what we've done is made it easier for them to get access to other spreadsheets. We've also enabled the data in a database to be used with other products. So we've got the best of both worlds. So all these reports I've been showing you, all the analyzer reports, you can literally click on it and say, I want to download this as a spreadsheet. And on slide 16, an example, when you do bring it into the spreadsheet, there's automatically a filter bar on the top, so then you can do your extra filtering. And we do have, like, here is an example of the audit trail report, and it's quite a lot of data in that report. So it actually works quite well in spreadsheets where you can move around the columns themselves and do filtering for columns. And the other interesting thing on slide 17 is that all the analyzed reports, I mean, showing you the interactive nature, but we had a lot of requests to being able to automate it so that people who start every month might want to run a report, a quick summary report. And another big feedback we got in 7.2 was ZOS is what they're specialized, what they're looking at, and that's where they want to generate the reports from. So Analyzer, you can run it online, as I've been showing you, but you can also run these reports in batch on ZOS itself. So you can actually generate spreadsheets and HTML reports in batch on ZOS. So when you run these reports, all our reports, when we show them, at the bottom of them, we show the syntax to run it in batch. So you can just basically literally cut and paste it from your web page and put it into your batch job, and then you can automate that to run automatically. Or if you've got some really heavy reports, like you want to look at certain application modules and you want to see a lot of details about application modules and you want to just grind it away, you can obviously do that in batch as well. Slide 18. In addition to what we provide out of the box with those asset and discovery reports, you can also create custom reports. You add your own reports. The database is fully documented, and also all the reports which I've shown you, there's a way that will show you exactly the SQL used to generate that report. So, and I explain this in the manual. Typically, if you see a report which is similar to what you want, but you want it slightly different, you can literally cut and paste the query, generate the report, and then save it away as a custom report. So a very easy way to just get a custom query. Now, also, TADZ does ship for free Tibler Common Reporting, or TCR, Cognos, version 2.1. And so it ships for free when you order the product, so you download the mainframe components from ShopZ, and there's also a separate hyperlink to download the DVD image of TCR. And the advantage of using TCR is it's particularly powerful if you want to combine data from several sources. So if you want to get the TADZ data and you want to combine it with TDS data or whatever, Cognos is really strong at bringing those sort of things together. And it's also it's a wizard orientated thing. So instead of SQL like it is here, it's more a drag and drop type wizard stuff. So we provide it free. It does need to be installed on a distributed platform. The customers we have using it quite often install it on a Z Linux partition, but you put it on Windows or on a distributed side. So that's a separate thing, and it's an optional thing whether or not you deploy it. And it's only the more advanced guys who want to create their own custom reports. Most of our customers, the reports which are out of the box with the analyzer, but 90% easily just using those reports. So just a quick couple of slides on architecture before I hand over to Ed to show how we fit into the bigger picture. This slide 19. Okay, so on the left-hand side, some of you guys would be familiar with Tibler License Compliance Manager for ZOS or TLCMZ. On the left-hand side there, it says Remote Mainframe Components, and on slide 19, it's very similar to TLCMZ. There's an Inquisitor component, which is equivalent to the Surveyor component in the TLCMZ, where it scans all the DASD looking for load modules. It's similar. It's a batch job which runs. It's lightning fast in comparison. I mean, when I say lightning fast, it's something like 95% quicker, as in like it runs in 5% of the time it does in TLCMZ. We had large customers running TLCMZ, and it would take 48 hours, and like literally for those really huge sites, it'll take half an hour. A lot of sites, it'll be just, you know, 15-minute scan. It's a lot of data. It produces a zip file, and that gets then imported into a central database. Also on the left-hand side, there's also a usage monitor starter task, similar to TLCMZ, except that instead of just producing a whole lot of raw data, it does some aggregation right from the source. So, for example, if it sees the same job name run 100 times in a day, in TLCMZ, 100 records for each module which sort of being used would be cut. With TLCMZ, we would see the 100 and we just put a count of 100. It'll get consolidated. So the output's a bit more condensed. The other big difference there is with TLCMZ, the reporting needs to go through all that raw data. With TADZ, that data which is captured gets imported into the database. And as you saw from those screen prints, we can get access to the data really, really quickly. Whereas, for example, finding out, doing a simple query like for a user ID of who's using what library, that would take a long time to generate on TLCMZ, adding like an hour or two just to run that report, whereas it's seconds with TADZ. Slide 20. Besides the core architecture, we've got what I showed you there on slide 19, just the core architecture. I forgot to mention Analyzer. Analyzer assists as a starter task wherever, right next to the database, and you use your browser to connect directly to the Analyzer. As I said before, it's extremely lightweight, and by design, it doesn't pre-reck any other middleware, so there's no WebSphere or Java or anything like that. It just uses the Socket API and then talks to DB2. There is also an extended architecture. So this is all, besides the yellow component, all stuff which comes to the product. We've got capabilities to, on the left-hand side, to scan SNF data. And this works really well. As you see from a lot of those reports before, a lot of the power of the product, there's two sort of phases, I guess, of getting the value out of those reports. One is just quickly discovering what's installed, and that can be done quite quickly. The next part, though, is to see who's using the product and where. And the usage monitor, we rely on capturing that data, and over time, you'll get a better picture of what's happening. So that means deploying the usage monitor and rolling it out, which could take several months with change windows, and then you've got to gather, and it builds up over time. So the second wave of getting value within the reports is waiting, I guess, for the usage data to come in. So then we added this component called the SNF scanner, where we scan usage data that you've already collected with your SMS 30 records, and we've got a way that we convert them into compatible usage monitor records, and then we can load them in. And the advantage of that is it's only a subset of the capabilities of what the usage monitor can collect, but it works really well for about 75% of the products. Any product which is batch orientated, like compilers and stuff like that, will really get some visibility of what they're being used and tap into what you've already collected. So a quick time to value by tapping into historic data. What you're not going to get with SNF is products which are run not from the as a secondary, so things like an ISPS product. From SNF you'll see TSO, you won't see the product underneath TSO, or it might be a sort routine, or it might be an application which invokes a product. You'll see the application usage, but you won't see the product which is invoking. You will with usage monitor. So that's where the full results you need to deploy the usage monitor. But to get some quick time to value, the SNF scanner can optionally be used. And there's also in the middle there, SCRT, subcapacity reporting tool. For the customers who are using subcapacity licenses, at the moment they're running the subcapacity reporting tool and it produces a flat file or a CSV file, and they send it off to IBM, and then that directly influences the bill for the following month for IBM products. So getting an idea of where the trends are actually happening is the first level of importance. And the next level there is saying, well, I can see that the trend might be going up high or whatever, the next level is saying, well, what am I going to do about it in this shared environment? So what we've done is we've enabled you to import in SCRT data. So the same output that you send to IBM for billing is you can load it into our repository as well. And then we marry it up, we correlate it with the data that we've collected about what's happening on your system. So you'll see trends from an SCRT point of view, you know, might be going up, for example, and then you might say, well, you know, I need to reduce the workload or move workload around. In order to do that, you need to know who's using what and where. So that's where we've got the benefits with those quick hyperlinks that I showed you before. On the right-hand side of the screen, I'm on slide 20. I mentioned the TCR Cognos before, which comes with the product and optionally can be deployed. Now, the one in yellow, it's going to be talking about soon, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, a very, very strong asset management product. And it'll mention that there's a sister product to TADZ or TADZ4D, Tivoli Asset Discovery for Distributed. And this is where the two parts, the two technologies meet. They meet in TAMET. And the people who use TAMET are more the folks who look at contracts and assets from another point of view. And they're not the sort of people who know what a petition data set is, for example, on DOS or load modules. They're not concerned. They're more concerned about the contracts. In distributed with TADD, you've got licenses such as you might be licensed for 10,000 copies of a product. When you go from discovery there, if you've got 13,000 copies, you've got a compliance issue. If you've got 8,000, you've got consolidation, and you can reduce the licenses. With TADZ, it's almost like the opposite because you don't have anywhere near the number of deployments, but you've got thousands of users in it. So that's why a lot of the specialized reporting I've been showing you is in TADZ because it's quite ZOS specific, right? But when it comes into TAMET, the asset guys, the technical people handle that in TADZ, the asset guys just want to know, okay, what version of the software, what machines they're running on, and bringing both the distributed and the Z sides together is where it's happening, is in TAMET, which Ed will talk about. And actually, the last point on slide 20 is, once you've got TADZ up and running, you don't actually have to do any configuration changes on TADZ at all for TAMET to work, to bring that data in. You actually point TAMET to the database, and it will pull in the information that it needs. And it typically pulls in the information which you see in, under our asset or our reporting. Okay, just winding up, slide 21, for new customers, we do have a proof of concept which is very, very quick to use, extremely quick. What we do is we will provide you with the subset of the data capture components on the left-hand side. It's just a simple zip file that you download when we give you the key, and it's, I think, about four jobs that you run to capture the data, and you then FTP it to us in the lab. We then load it into the database, and we then do a webcast showing you what we've found. So inevitably, we will find things like, you know, some of those scenarios I mentioned before of products not being used and so forth. Or often we'll come up with products where people will say, look, that product doesn't exist, but yet when they go and check it, yes, it is still installed. But, you know, so we show enough to show the value of the product. We don't actually give you the copy of the reports because that's actually giving away too much before you've actually committed to purchase, but it gives you a certainly good understanding of how quickly you can get some time to value out of the product. And as I said, you'll get more and more time of value as you get more and more usage data that you put into the product. So slide 22, interesting enough, we did some, that's a customer database, we did some reporting and looking at just purely from a case of the libraries we found in their environments. And interesting enough, we found that a lot of these libraries were created a long time ago, and a lot of them are still being used. So this is from a bank, and they're still using libraries which were created 30 years ago. And we're seeing this time and time again. The one thing about the ZOS environment is it's an evolutionary environment. And since people haven't had the tooling to actually know when things are not being used or be able to get people off old releases, it's just grown and grown and grown. And it's quite different on distributed where it's more revolutionary. You've got new servers, so you get a whole new image every few years or whatever. So there's different types of environments, and that's why we've got specialized reporting in TADZ, and TADD has got specialized requirements, things like bundling and so forth. It's a lot different on distributed. So at least, this illustrates this, the whole thing of you really do need to get an understanding of what's being used and where by an independent tool has made a lot of advantages of the things I mentioned up front. So by protecting your investment, protecting from losing money, optimizing your budget, and the financial accountability are the main reasons customers use the product. I mentioned before that it then goes into Tamit, and there's a whole new level of benefits you can get from bringing it into Tamit. I'm going to hand you across to Ed Rossi to explain that.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. I think you've shown some real value in the use of TADZ for our clients and in the way that they can use the information that's being gathered to make better use of their software and improve efficiency on it. I'm going to jump us to a slightly different direction now, and I'm going to do two things. First, I'm going to back up for a minute and touch base on the overall ITS management portfolio within Tivoli, and then briefly drive into two of the products, and Mark has mentioned both of them, Tivoli Asset Management for IT and Tivoli Asset Discovery for Distributed. I'm going to do this as a short version just to give you a sense of how everything fits together. So jumping down to slide 24, this lists the IT Asset Management portfolio, and there are, three primary products, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, which is the full asset lifecycle management product, and I'll be touching base on that briefly, but it's really what we use to manage the overall entitlement of both hardware and software and to manage the life cycle of those entitlements. And that includes a whole set of information, which we'll look at. Tivoli Asset Discovery for Distributed is the distributed discovery tool that we have, complementary to TAD4Z. It works in the multiple distributed environments that exist today, including in virtual environments, provides information about software usage as applicable, and certainly provides reporting for inventory and consumption data. And that's really a primary factor and element here. We have a software knowledge base tool I've kind of listed here briefly on the bottom, and that's really where we store our full signature set of both IBM and also some third-party software, and where we can manage that software, enable the client to add to it, for example, for in-house products, et cetera. And that comes with Tivoli Asset Management for IT and for Tivoli Asset Discovery for Distributed. But let me move on to slide 25. This is a quick high-level architectural view of the different products together. And a couple of takeaways here is that Tivoli Asset Management for IT is a business-based product and is built on an integrated platform set, which includes a number of our other business and ISM solutions, including Service Request Manager, Change of Configuration Manager, certainly our Maximo Asset Management, our enterprise asset solution, as well as Provisioning Manager. This is our kind of central repository and where we look at everything. We pull data in from Tivoli Asset Discovery for ZOS, as Mark mentioned, as well as Tivoli Asset Discovery for Distributed. We use that data, and I'll kind of walk through that process here, but this is an overall integrated solution that works well together. We focus our discovery tools, focus on the strength of those tools, their ability to capture and report on discovered inventory and consumption data. And Tivoli Asset Management for IT focuses on its strength of performing overall IT asset and lifecycle management. So let me drill in very briefly into a couple of these tools. Slide 26, I've got a quick summary on Tivoli Asset Discovery for Distributed. And, as I mentioned, this is IBM's discovery solution for distributed server platforms. And we provide some specific capability in addition to gathering core basic inventory data, counting data, how much software, which software is installed on any given machine. We also collect data for some of our specific metrics, including processor value units, where the metric itself is based on the size of the machine on which the software is installed. So installing a piece of software on a small server would result in a smaller value than installing that same software on a larger server. And that's really important to understand as you go through and trying to understand and determine that your consumption, the amount that you have consumed of your software entitlement. Slide 27 shows a little bit more details about Tivoli Asset Discovery for distributed. This is a two-tier architecture. There's native install packages for clients, and it's scalable to suit clients' environment. We support extensive virtualization technology, and I'm listing here a few of the support that we have, and we actually have additional support as well. So that's a very strong focus on our part. It's absolutely the trend and the direction that's going on within the market. And so it's imperative that we are able to operate in the virtual environments, collect the data that we need, both in terms of the software itself, as well as the information about the virtual environment itself that will allow us to do some calculations on the consumption data. We've got some other information in here, so you should feel free to take a look. I'm going to kind of keep going because I know we're a little short on time. I'm going to jump down to slide 28. And on 28, I start talking about the concept of this lifecycle management. And this is really where Tivoli Asset Management for IT comes in. There's a lifecycle process with all IT hardware and software that exists regardless of the tool that you use. And at a high level, that is really the plan, acquisition, deployment, maintenance, and then eventually end of life or retirement. Tivoli Asset Management for IT handles all of those elements and provides, you know, tremendous return on investment and value in as you look at each of the individual pieces. You know, when you're planning, is providing information on not only the authorized asset and license entitlements, but the related contracts, as Mark mentioned, the purchase orders, really an understanding of, you know, how long you've had these assets, how they've worked, where they've been assigned, how much they've been used. That concept carries on through. There's elements in every portion of the asset lifecycle that is part of the Tivoli Asset Management for IT solution. Jumping down to slide 29, this is kind of where we interact. I kind of show what we're doing with the different products. So on the right-hand side, you see a set of discovery services, and the Tivoli discovery services are highlighted in yellow. And we've touched base this morning on TADZ with quite extensive detail and also on TADD. We pull that data in using a tool that we have, Integration Composer, into a set of tables inside of TAMET. And then we compare that to the authorized repository. The authorized repository is made up of data that's determined based on what it is that you have acquired, what it is that you believe your entitlement to be. And that can be populated initially with a base set of data from a number of sources. But the goal is to have a clear understanding of that authorized environment, and then in this case to make a comparison between the discovered and authorized. From a hardware side, this has a lot of value just in terms of understanding what's out there in the environment, whether or not you're tracking it correctly, and whether or not the status that you have and where you have it deployed, you know, where you have it listed as deployed in your authorized side, whether or not that's correct. From a software perspective, this is really critical. We have software is extremely easy to install. It's easy to install in such a way that you can exceed your entitlement. So for an example, if you installed WebSphere application server and you had an entitlement to it, the entitlement would be based on the amount of capacity that the server on which the product is installed has. So you could easily install one copy of WebSphere application server but install it on a large server and find yourself out of compliance. What we do here is pull in the discovered data from both TADD and TADZ, aggregate it together to form an enterprise view of all discovered data, and then compare that to the license entitlements and give you an understanding from an audit perspective of the difference between the license entitlement and the discovered data. Briefly jumping to slide 30, this is just a quick example. There are a tremendous number of reports that we provide on the TAMET side. And those reports, the orientation, as Mark mentioned, is quite different. You know, we can show some of the base inventory data, but our goal is to give you some kind of business views of the assets and the way that those assets are being used, both hardware and software. And that's really what you see and what you look at when you touch base with TAMET. So the last slide, slide 31, just has some information and some links for you to take a look at. Please feel free to jump in and look through these websites to gather any of the information that you might have. They also have contact links on the bottom for you to email, and you can contact us directly to get additional information or to set up a discussion. I want to thank you for joining us here, and we're going to, in just a moment, get ourselves ready for some Q&A. Operator, back to you.
Thank you, Mark and Ed. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all the options before making your selection. Question number one. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And now question number 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question number 3. Are you performing asset discovery across your entire enterprise today? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And question number 4. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving information on this solution. If yes, press star 1. If no information is desired at this time, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move on to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Once again, that's star 1 if you would have a question today. And at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to our presenters while we wait for questions. And gentlemen, did you have any comments to make at this time?
Nothing specific. I hope everyone enjoyed the presentation. And certainly feel free to contact us with any questions if you don't have any right now. We'd be glad to touch base with you and address those.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 if you have any questions at this time. And we do have a question from John Ordman from InfoCrossing.
Hi there. Thanks. Good presentation. We are currently running TADZ version 7.2, and we're using the TCR option extensively, so I guess I'm looking forward to not having to rely on a middle-tier server in order to access the database. One thing, the usage is based strictly on load module execution as opposed to, for example, ISPF, library, Rex execs, C-lists, things of that nature. Is that true or not?
That's true, yes. It's load modules, executable programs, both on the ZOS and also the USS environments.
We find it useful for third-party products, which there's the knowledge base for. I was wondering if you could advise how often it might be advisable to refresh that.
There is on Fix Central. We publish an update every month, and as part of that update, there's a download for it, and it'll list exactly what's been added because, as you know, new releases are coming out, particularly from ISVs, all the time. So we're proactively adding it, and also if we hear that we've missed any, we add it in straight away. So
once a month we ship updates. And if you've got any concerns, there's not a recovered, as soon as you open a PMR, we can generally add it quite quickly.
Yeah. Finally, if I could, these are quick, and then I'll let some others ask. But there have been some false reports, you know, false reporting of usage, or what I've also found is that in order to get accurate reporting, I might need to rerun the Inquisitor as well in order to capture usage more recently or more accurately. I'm not really sure why that happens, but is that sort of glitch addressed in the version 7.5?
In 7.5, we did a lot of work in that area. The first thing to note, the actual scanning part's quite quick with the Inquisitor, but the matching process can be quite heavy. And what we did in 7.5 is we figured in most EOS environments, you get a bit of activity in some libraries, but a lot of libraries, might be 95%, don't change that frequently. So what we do now is it's quick enough to do it every week now that if you scan it and do the matching, anything which hasn't changed since the last time we did the scan, we skip the matching processing. So you can literally hook it up so it's automated so that once a week you do a scan and you're up to date as much as possible. So that was quite a significant change in 7.5. The other more subtle change we made in 7.5 in this area is we aligned the knowledge base to be library aligned. Previously in 7.2, the knowledge base was strictly at a module level, like a product may have a set of modules, and we look for those set of modules regardless of what libraries they were in. And that's the area of weakness we sometimes had, that it would go through and find a lot of products, and then somehow some of the bigger sites would bring a whole lot of modules which are deployed across a whole lot of different libraries together and say, here's a product, which was wrong. Occasionally, you know, people will copy a module across their own library and it sort of started screwing us up. So in 7.5, one of the changes we made is we aligned the knowledge base to be library aligned. So we're looking for products within inside libraries. And there might be several different products installed in the library. We'll discover that. But the split is per library. So in some of the cases where a product may naturally get deployed in multiple libraries, in that case we would split that by different options, and often they'll have that low-level qualifier as part of that option. But that definitely has improved, not only the performance, but the quality as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And at this time, we have no further questions in the queue, but if you'd like to ask a question now, please press star 1. And we have no further questions in the queue at this time, and I'll turn it back over to our presenters for any closing remarks.
Okay, well, just a quick one following on the conversation is going to go with 7.2. The other significant one in going 7.2, 7.5 is the analyzer, which all those screen prints, not only just from a point of view of more coverage, more access to things, but the speed. What we found, what we intended in 7.2, from the nature of the data, it's high level and you want to be able to drill down quickly, and we need that interactive nature. And we tried to do that with TCR, but the reality is TCR is very good at reporting to create reports. It's not really sort of designed for that interactive nature. That's why we've created the analyzer, and the analyzer is quick like we originally intended. So anybody on 7.2, one of the advantages actually of 7.5, if you put then in 7.5, you can use the analyzer component to actually query your existing 7.2 database, so you can get some really quick value out of 7.5 deployment. You got any comments, Ed?
No, Mark, I think you certainly covered some of the benefits there, and just in a broad sense, as we mentioned earlier, this is – our goal is to give you some information to assist you kind of in your decision-making and operational processes. So if there's anything that comes up beyond this, we'd be glad to talk to you.
And that concludes our presentation for today. Thank you for your participation.